Hey everyone, I'm Madonna and this is David.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello. So we're going to talk about resolving issues and what hypocrisy there is out there with,
Well,
it's all a bit challenging at the moment.
it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because one place I start like to start with this is there's some things we teach children, and then when we become adults, we don't do them anymore. And there's lots of examples of that, but one of them is like basic reconciliation. Like, for example, my wife's a primary school teacher, and she goes through this process with kids when they hurt other people. It's really simple, and it's simple because it's like first say sorry, then admit what you did, or admit what you did, then say sorry, then ask for forgiveness,
Do both
and
sides say
then,
sorry or just the naughty one?
well, whatever. Okay, so, but
Well, I
the,
am curious.
well, well, okay, well, we'll go, let's go through the steps first. So first we admit what we did wrong. Right, which is hard for adults. It seems to be easier for kids than adults. We admit what we did wrong, and then we say sorry, and then we ask for forgiveness, and then we make some plan to either not do it anymore or to repair and maybe even compensate, right? Which is what should happen.
Right.
And not should, but that's the ethical way to do it, to become a person with good values, because people who have good values do that. Now, in the space we work in counselling, there seems to be a lot of other opinions about this that are really interesting. Like, for example, if you look at a lot of the work, you'll see a lot of stuff online about narcissism, for example. And if you look at the coaches doing it, they're telling nearly everyone that you can identify a narcissist just by a few things and you should cut that person off.
Right.
Now, I don't see cutting somebody off falling into that category of reconciliation. Now, if somebody is really actually a narcissistic, or they have one of those dark triad personality orders, it's going to be 10% of the people have something like that. And so maybe at that stage, if over time and you've tried the reconciliation several times, then you might think, I can't work with this person.
Yeah.
But it should be quite a process before you go to cut off, right?
Yeah.
Except what we see online is we see cut off. I don't like them, cut them off. And the problem with this is that we've got little kids that we're actually teaching to do the absolute opposite,
Yeah.
right? We're not telling them to cut off because they're at school with all the people, and we're teaching them how to be good people. And what do good people do?
Yeah.
They admit what they did wrong, they say sorry, they ask for forgiveness, and then make some commitment to not doing that anymore. Right? Except what we see in the adult world isn't exactly like that. And it's not like that for individuals, for family members, or for other organizations or groups of people.
Yeah.
Like some groups, it could be gender orientated, they say pretty much like what I'd pretty much the opposite of what normal reconciliation is. And so this becomes a problem in family relationships.
Yeah.
Because they're telling you to cut people off in your family. Or at least if they're in your blood family, unless you have a narcissistic family system or a highly dysregulated family system, maybe cutting people off too early is wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Because especially if you've got kids, the studies find that the more positive adults around the kids, the more opportunity that they have to integrate different types of successful behaviors in life. Like, for example, one of my siblings might be a bit mean, right? But I might be able to identify that as something that happened in their childhood or happened because of their workplace over time or because of their own family, their own individual family over time. And so they become too narky to actually resolve issues, or they're going to be have a grudge. Right. And when you've got a grudge, you can't really practice the resolving anymore
Yeah.
because it prevents you from doing what you're teaching your kids. So if I'm like that, now I'm a hypocrite. Right. If I don't try to resolve, right, I become a hypocrite. Now, the problem is with dysregulated and narcissistic family systems is that you end up with a situation where it's generally a bit like this. They have this ridiculous sense of loyalty for each other. That is, they cover each other's mistakes, they lie about each other's mistakes, and not all to make the family legacy okay,
Yeah.
which you can understand.
Yeah.
Except when it becomes a problem that everybody uses and one person scapegoated all the time, which will be common because as soon as we've got a dysregulated family system, there's usually a scapegoat and a golden child. They're the first to appear. And once you've got those two things, like because we want the golden child, because if we've got one kid in the family that's successful, we can say we're good parents, right? But then everyone dumps the crap on the scapegoat, who's the cause of all the problems. And this isn't an unusual thing in probably 10 to 20% of family systems, right? It becomes like that. But what gets thrown, where the baby gets thrown out of with the bathwater is people don't resolve, because what happens with these people is they do the harm and then they usually just disappear for a while till the coast is clear and then they come back. They don't resolve anything, right? And families that don't resolve things, they're broken, right? Because it's like, what? You can't say, so. Because what sort of person do I become? If I'm like that, what sort of person am I now? I'm someone who won't admit what I did. I'm someone who won't say I'm sorry. I'm someone who doesn't ask for forgiveness. And I'm someone who basically won't change my behavior. But at the same time, at school, we've got our kids, and the teachers are teaching our kids to do this, right? But who's informing the adults not to do this, right? And you'll
Lots of
see.
people.
Well, it's not people, it's groups. Like, so for it's always a group. So it'll be a type of group think if it's in a family system. Because if you'll find a narcissistic family system, they're all doing that except for the scapegoat. And in family therapy, they're known as the identified patient. Because the scapegoat is the person who actually really knows what's going on in the family, right? Because they're the one who cops it, and they're the ones who know how mean the other people are. And so you've got the scapegoat, and but you've got all of these issues, pain that happens that's denied. So then it gets a step further. So after we don't resolve things anymore, we start lying about what happened and blaming the other person for what we did. And this is so insidious. And there's so in the concept of betrayal trauma, because when any of this happens in a family system, it always has an element of betrayal. If you get blamed for something you didn't do, so that people don't have to say sorry, beg forgiveness, and go through the reconciliation process, if you're in that situation, you've got nothing to work with, right? And so that happens in family systems, but it also happens in business systems. You'll see this in the workplace. Because what I'm trying to say is, where is this coming from? Right? And it's coming from corporate systems. It's coming from ideological groups, like when we split the humans up into men and women have one set of rules and men have another set of rules. We see this in divorces all the time. Who doesn't say sorry? Because you see the outcome of a divorce, it's not usually 50% everything.
Here in
50,
Australia, it's not. Some places it is, but here in
very
Australia,
rare. In the Western countries, we're all
where
quite,
Sweden is very much 50-50,
well, they
for
start,
example.
okay, they start off 50-50, but we can talk about Sweden later. I know they have it right in ideal, and they are a bit better, except it still ends up with a similar outcome because of some factors, which we could go in today, but that'd make it more complex. Because the problem here is
And
this.
that's not really what we're talking about.
Well, no, but it could be what we're talking about, because basically is that every child has one primary attachment figure, and it's nearly always the mum, right? So that means that.
Well, in Sweden, my understanding is divorce gives 50% of the time. If there's any stepchildren, they're included in both families. So they're not just cut off because they're a
Okay,
stepchild.
but
So there's some really good things that happen in
all right,
Sweden
but I know
that are
that I
not the
that's
same in
right.
Australia.
What's good there is they start at that, but still it doesn't end up like that, because I know the Swedish model and I've read studies on them, where because where it happens, it's still this problem with the attachment person primary, because the truth is also is that when you're a dad, you know that. Like in my case, I'm married and I know that my wife, my kid's mum, is the main attachment figure. So my job as a dad is to preserve that. And when you go to divorce, even if you want to start there, the kids are going to want to spend more time with their mum because she's the main attachment figure. So how do you work out 50% of anything? Because their kids nearly always prefer to go with their primary attachment figure. In some cases, the men take on the primary attachment role, but it's fairly rare. Because they just don't do that sort of work, especially in the first 5 years. The guys don't do any of it. It's all the mums. We don't have the feeding apparatus, right? Which is how
Thank
the,
goodness.
but that's how the attachment forms. And you see, also, more breastfeeding generally means more secure attachment, because the attachment is built by the mum. Now, the problem is when you want to do something fair around this, if you're the person who's the attachment figure, and the government will give you the advantage to preserve the attachment, and all the other people of that gender are going to give you the advantage, what chance does the other person have? And in that case, why would you bother saying sorry when you end up retiring early? Because there's a joke. I was watching an Australian. No, I won't say that joke.
Will
Sorry.
you?
All
You
right.
can do
Well,
it. Do
I will.
it. Do it.
I was watching an Australian comedian the other day on YouTube, and he goes, well, I want to talk about, I know it's an unpopular subject, but I want to talk about going out with older middle-aged women, right? And he goes, now the first thing you understand is that they all come with a house. And he goes, and if it's a recent divorce, the house will nearly always be renovated. And he goes, as a matter of fact, when I got with mine, it was so good, I went out and thanked her ex-husband for doing such a good job on the renovations. You see, and that shouldn't be funny, but it is. And the reason it's funny is because anyone, because I've told this joke to a lot of people, and everyone laughs because they go, because that's what's happening
It
around
is
them.
what's happening here in Australia,
Now, I don't
yes.
want to be critical because I'm a supporter of the attachment person, because that's what the kids need primarily.
Yeah.
But that can be really taken advantage of, because what have the guys got to do?
Yeah.
And in the research, and so we all support that in the country. And not only that, the COAG meeting in 2009 put the mothers and the child together, so they became one unit in 2009. You can look it up. The COAG meeting in 2009 in May. What do you call it when you sign what is it, human rights thing?
Oh, okay.
So they signed that to make the mum and the child virtually together. Now, that's good for attachment if the mum and dad stays together, because you'll see researchers like Erica Commissar. She's got a book on, she recommends that there should be 12 months primary care and 12 months paid work,
Yeah.
so that the mum can get 12 months with the kid breastfeeding and establishing attachment.
Yeah.
But her second book is about what a dad's role. And the dad's role is to help the kid get the discipline to move out of home, right? Get ready to move out, because we need our time back. You're 19, you're 20, you need to get out. But what's the main problem with young men in society is they're staying at home, living in their basements till they're 35. Why? Because the male role, getting your kids ready, being harsh enough to, you've got to move out of home, you better get a job, isn't the mum's role,
Yeah.
right? And so, I'm not being, I'm just saying this is how the research plays around with it. And what I'm really saying is that in a situation like that, if I've always got an advantage, why would I bother with reconciliation? Why would I be sorry? Why would I? And even though the best thing for the kids would be if you can reconcile, if you're in a domestic violence
Can
situation.
I tell you a joke?
Yeah.
So I was at a comedy show the other night and there was an Indigenous dude at the end. He was the last guy and he was pretty bloody funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was saying he was fighting with his white wife one day and he said, "What are you going to do? Wait 200 years to apologize?"
Right.
Anyway.
Well, as soon as you say the word reconciliation, the first thing you think of,
Here in Australia,
yeah, but thank God we eventually did. Kevin Rudd said sorry, and it was such a great day for everybody. Why was it such a great day? Oh, because Australia started doing what we were telling children. Australia said sorry. They asked for forgiveness. They what's the third? Said sorry. They admitted what they did wrong. They asked for forgiveness, and I don't think they did any compensation because they waited long enough till it was too late. But
Well, you say that, but we spend anyway,
yeah,
let's not
okay, all
go
right,
there.
no, good
That
point.
they
So
actually do make a huge amount of money out of our mining and all sorts of things.
that's a good thing as compensation. So
Yes.
basically, what Kevin Rudd did there was actually did what we teach children to do, which stopped Australia from being so hypocritical.
Yeah.
right? And so if adults start doing this too, instead of just looking for the advantage, I've got an advantage here, I'll be able to work part-time for the rest of my life because I get most of everything, and he'll have to keep, or she, because sometimes men have the main thing, and the other person will have to work and pay for it all
Yeah.
without any rights.
Yes.
And so if you could do reconciliation, because a lot of things that people don't resolve, they don't resolve because there's a financial advantage. Going outside the male-female family thing, you see that in corporate examples. It's like the person who's least likely to say sorry is a organization that's either corporate, that's either government, or is in the space we work in, medical,
Yeah.
right? And the person who will say sorry least will be the insurance company. But no one wants to talk about the insurance companies that never say sorry. But they do facilitate this process when they're working well. So if a client is hurt by a mistake or something, in theory, the insurance company should be that backup so that the doctor has to say sorry in court now, or the therapist of any type. They have to say sorry, they have to admit what they did, and the insurance company get their money or make sure they admit what they did, and then they'll, what is it? Forgiveness comes in terms of financial settlement in that case,
Yep.
and then which will be in the last part too. But so humans are sadly learning off organizations of people, groups of people,
Yeah.
okay? Because men and women are groups of people, doctors and naturopaths are groups of people, and there's insurance behind all of it. But when that doesn't work anymore, and we see that we've been misled into living a life that is different from what we teach our children, the children look up and see these hypocritical parents who won't do what they're being taught at school. And that must be really weird for the kids.
Yeah,
That's where I was coming
right.
to. Is that a nice, sorry, that was my thing today. So sorry, Madonna, I took up all the time. What do you think?
No, I think it's interesting because I always think that we're hypocritical the way we expect. And obviously, I spend a lot of time with Teddy, my grandson, 7.5 years old, and I make him thank people. I make him hug people, family members, not strangers. You know, I get him to, be a nice little human being, which he is. He's a really nice little human being. But I, like it is funny. We used to have a friend, Scotty, and Scotty was one of these guys who would be so thankful when he was, when he'd caught up. He'd like thank for the
Scotty.
cup of teas and coffee and wine and, yeah.
I used to play music with Scotty.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Scotty.
yeah, yeah,
Okay.
yeah. So, but it was, he's just one
Beautiful.
of these guys that when he was leaving, he would be
It was
thankful.
too.
But, and it always made me think, I never thank anyone for a cup of tea. So whenever I don't thank someone
Right.
for a cup of tea, I feel guilty because of Scotty and how thankful he was.
Right. So good examples in there.
Because
I
to
that.
me, I'm like, hey, you want a cup of tea or coffee? I don't expect, it's like a
Right.
tea or coffee.
So
It's no big deal. So.
that proves this. If we see good examples of adults doing the right thing in the environment, that encourages.
Yeah.
But when we see
Well, I
adults.
have Catholic guilt when
Right. Okay.
I
Well,
don't
so
do it.
even Catholic, even if people don't agree with it anymore, and maybe it didn't work properly, confession in Catholicism follows those four steps, right? And also counseling, Sigmund Freud said when they asked him why he was doing it the way he was doing it, he said because they were following Nietzsche, Nietzsche, Friedrich Nietzsche,
Yeah.
and he did the whole famous God is dead thing. Because they realized religion was declining and confession was there as a way for people to do this, internal forgiveness and all of this. So
Yeah.
we're doing that with God. We're saying, sorry to God, I did this wrong thing, beg forgiveness, and then make a think not to do it
Compensation.
again.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so we did say, what do you do? Say four Hail Marys and an Our Father.
Yeah.
But it's showing the way. But now we live in a world where the way we're being shown by both every corporation, because they all use public relations, and the last thing you ever do is say sorry.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you say you're sorry, you're liable,
Yeah.
right? So everything in the world is stopping reconciliation in groups. So groups of men, groups of women, groups of therapists, groups of insurance companies, every business in the world. When you look at like another example is my wife is a primary school teacher. They do all these things with schools about if they go to a public event, they have to sign all this stuff again about getting their photo taken. It has nothing to do with the safety of kids. It has to do with insurance. Right. And so, because this idea has taken over, no one ever says sorry, because as soon as you say sorry, you might be liable. And this public relations insurance thing has taken over the minds of adults and made it in their normal family life and in their kid life and in their work life. So this, I'm sorry, I did this wrong, please forgive me, I won't do it again, doesn't happen anywhere because there's no advantage in it. The advantage is in not doing those four things. So what's the point of even teaching our kids this? Because what? Oh, you do this when you're a kid, and then when you grow up like us, you don't do it anymore. Because we want to get an advantage over our husband, over our wife, over people who work in natural therapies know that the you try to be complimentary and the other side won't participate. Right? Because no one wants to be sorry. Because why does that happen? It's because, well, if you work in a complimentary way, if I've got a naturopath and a doctor working on my case, if something goes wrong, who do you sue? You can't share it. So therefore, one tries to cut the other off. And that's the problem, right? Except the best outcome for me as a patient, I want both. But they say, oh, you're not allowed to try that. Because what was it, something in America? So just say here you have something like,
I think you're talking about the right to try thing. So, yeah,
right.
Trump signed
So,
an executive order in 2018 saying that people within the medical system in America were allowed to try natural and alternative
right.
therapies,
So just say,
which
let's,
seems like a weird thing to have to say that you're allowed to
well,
do.
let's put that in a practical context. I've got skin cancer, okay? And I've got a chemotherapy product that I rub all over my face sometimes. Makes it all red. Everyone's seen me all red on these videos. And it makes it go away for a little while, but it comes back.
And the toxins go inside, so you have to
And so you've
constantly
got that.
detox.
Whereas if I say that I'm using a herb, I won't say what it is because you're not allowed to treat. Do you know what I mean? This is how ridiculous it is. I can't go, I'm using, because if I say the herb now, it'll get banned. So I won't even say, so I use a herb and rub it on my forehead. What happens? Oh, it goes away. But I'm not allowed to say that because in Australia, we don't have the right to try. Right? And so people who have some diseases, it's like not only do you get forced into one idea only, but even if you try the other thing or if a practitioner recommends you might try something, they could get in trouble. Is that right? Is that how it works? So give me some info on this because I find this really difficult as someone who's had heart problems, as someone who's had some serious health problems.
So for a start, back in
They'll say,
19
you're not allowed to do anything other than what we say. And I get a bit like, but, and I do the research, I can look up on the line, I can look up on Google and I can find exactly what herbal remedies I need to assist with this. And they work because I can see it working with skin cancer. And so, but I'm not allowed to say that. Right. And I don't, I'm also a complementary therapist. And they say, you're not allowed to treat
Well,
cancer,
this
diabetes.
particular
There's
substance that
four
you're
things you're not
using,
allowed to.
it's been because it is available widely for cancer in Europe. So
Right.
they've done studies where they've gotten rid of 78% of SCC lesions, 70% of BCC lesions, 71% of AK lesions. So that'll
Right.
be some sort of
I had two
hereditary thing.
lesions here. There's one, it's gone brown. There was another one over here that was red inflamed. They're gone. I didn't use FU dicks.
So part of
And the thing for cancer is called FU dicks. I mean, can we take this seriously? FUDIX.
behave yourself.
Sorry, it's what it's called. I went to the doctor and the doctor said FU dicks and I go, can't you spell? I thought you've got an OP of one. It's FU dicks. Just saying. But it works.
So part of the way that it works, and if anyone wants, just write it in the comment and I'll let you know what it is. But it stimulates immune response, induces apoptosis, which is cellular death externally, and reduces inflammation. So, it
And the
works on,
redness
and
goes
it
away completely.
slows the tumor progression and improves quality of
Well,
life,
slowing's
blah,
not
blah, blah.
curing, so it's okay. No, but
It
then you get in trouble for
but it's
slowing
not
too.
approved in US or Australia. And here in Australia, of course,
But that's
because
in Europe. See, so what you can see here is that that advice has nothing to do with reality at all. Okay, so if it's legal in Europe and it's not in America and here, it's got nothing to do with anything medical. It only has to do with insurance in that place. Because otherwise, why wouldn't everyone use it if something, because you can look up on Google and you can find everything. And they keep trying to disapprove herbs, But
And they've
you
been
can see
doing it
what it
forever.
does, and then you try it and it works, and you go, oh, that works, and they banned it. Why
So
did
I
they
think
why did no no why did they really ban something that works? Look, it's all
in
gone.
1935, they made a law that has spread around the rule, and this is when they started, basically creating lots of cancers through lots of
Well,
potential
what
reasons,
is
whatever cause, when
oh,
it basically starting.
whatever it is, Madonna, they won't say sorry. They won't admit what they did. They won't beg forgiveness, and they won't do anything to help. So
No, they certainly won't. But they
it is a
basically.
funny when you take that little model and you apply it to these corporate things, how you realize what it's doing to our children in and the adults in their psyche.
But the big pharma had so much pull and sway in America in the 1930s that they created laws to say that it was illegal to say that you could cure. And then they had six things. There was cancer, diabetes, heart disease. I can't remember what the other three were, but basically it was made illegal to cure anything in 1930. I think it was 1935. So that is down there in laws.
Well,
And that's why, again, I love Robert F. Kennedy Jr. because he's flipping it on its head.
let's have a little bit of irony. Look at irony here. Cancer, we're not cure, we're not, I'm because I'm a counselor, right? But I also know that cancer actually grows because of stress.
Well, that's one reason.
That's one compounding factor. And if you look at blood sugar, cancer, if you look at all of the diseases they say you're not allowed to treat, if you look, you'll find one of the main things, and nearly in most cases, the first thing is stress, right? So that means that anything that reduces stress will slow that down, right? And what's something that reduces stress? Oh, the resol saying sorry, right? So when we follow this,
Resolving relationships,
when we do resolving work, reconciliation work, we reduce stress. Okay, so in theory, that should slow down those diseases. Another example is from I know from my own, because I've got cancer. Okay, I've got cancer, and I don't have the right to try, but I can look up on Google and go, oh, so you'll find with cancer, what's the thing that makes it grow most? An acidic environment,
a sweet acidic
a
environment.
sweet acidic environment. So if I do things to alkalize my system, like eating less sugar, eating less of the recommended
Half
foods.
a teaspoon of purified bicarb soda morning and night.
Yeah, that's right. So a little bit of bicarb,
Minerals.
so mineral supplements, but even just on the most basic level, just by alkalizing your blood a little bit, by taking a little bit of bicarb, or what else do they use? They use methylene blue now because they sell it as an alkalizer. And so it's like alkalize your system, you're creating conditions that makes that other thing difficult to grow. Now it's funny that you can't make that recommendation because we don't have a right to try. Is that what the law's called in
Well, that's
America?
what it's called in America, yeah.
But we don't have that here. So there's another
But
kind.
Biden took it out when he got in again,
Right.
and Trump's put it back in
Yeah,
again.
but they're always like being they're controlled by insurance. Notice they don't do resolution, no matter who they are. None of them say sorry, I did the wrong thing, I beg forgiveness, now I'm going to give you some money, seeing I messed you up. No, they lie about it. They do the same thing that narcissists do. They lie about what happened, they make you into the victim, they make themselves into the victim when you're the victim, and they do DAVO. What's DAVO called? Deny, accuse, reverse victim and offender. Right? That's the opposite of reconciliation. And that's becoming the common way people deal with problems because that's how they've learned off the corporations and also
And the government.
and the regulating bodies, right, that regulate all these things, are encouraging people to be less likely to do reconciliation because as soon as you say sorry, you're now liable. And that's a sad state of affairs. And it happens in relationships too. And so people copy it and they do it with their children. They don't even say sorry to their children, right? How is it that people who fight all the time don't say sorry to their children? No one ever says sorry to the kids. Like, what's going on? Sorry, I did this wrong. They don't, and they're, oh, I got a right to be like this to their kids. Now the kids have grown up with an anti-resolution stance. Ha, isn't it amazing? This is the most amazing topic, and one of the things I like working with people as a counsellor is just going through the more advanced steps how to do it, because Because, that's a basic step for kids, those 4 steps.
Yeah.
And if you look up resolution in counseling online, everyone can look it up on Google. There's really nice AI assists now. And it goes through it. And it's like, if we adopted those things, we'd be living in a much more harmonious world.
Yeah.
And these groups that are controlling individuals' minds would have to stop. Whether
Yeah.
it's feminism, whether it's men's groups, whether it's an accreditation body controlling the medicines, or an accreditation board controlling the naturopaths. Everyone needs to do a better job so people can reconcile and get their health better, because unreconciled issues create stress that cause these diseases
Yeah.
or exacerbate. What does it say stress is? Exacerbates, but it's one of the main factors in making these diseases worse. And if you don't reconcile, there's less, more stress, and less everything else of the goodness.
Well, it's hard to be
Anyway,
happy when you got shit going on in the background.
isn't it right? It's hard to be, it's hard for
Yeah.
your body to relax. So the body, all of those things, the blood sugar goes up, and
Yeah,
the
and
food,
just
the
like even in the
stress
last,
makes blood sugar go up,
yeah.
stress makes cancer worse. So it's like you're not allowed to try,
Stress makes you fatter, hard to shift.
but you're also not
Yeah.
allowed to do the thing. You're not allowed to, we've been told, no, don't say sorry. Because you've got to have a grudge because we belong to this group of men or something. We're the men's group, and don't say sorry to those women. Do you know what I mean? It's
Really?
absolute.
Men are being told that too.
They're doing it because of, yeah, well, we already know that the feminism does that. I'm using the other
Yeah.
example to show that if men do it, how stupid it is.
Yeah, right.
Right? Because everyone, because the feminism has done what it's done,
Yeah.
and it's like saying sorry isn't feminist.
Yeah.
Sorry, but
Yeah.
and I've been a feminist. I had a feminist mum, and I'm pro-feminism because it actually helps everybody
Whereas I'm quite
when it's
anti it,
done
mainly because I've
judiciously.
seen so many of my clients who are men be screwed over the years. It's way
Which is,
rebounded way too far
and
in the
when you
wrong
and when you look at
direction.
the rebound, what wasn't there? What wasn't there was reconciliation
Yeah.
for years, and after 20 years of no reconciliation, the relationship kind of dies. And once
Yeah.
it's dead, it's dead. It's like no life anymore,
Yeah.
like a body.
Yeah. It's like it's got a pH of two. It's acidic.
Well, I
You know?
was surprised. Okay.
Because stress, of course, makes us acidic. Stress chews up all of your good minerals that help to keep you alkalized. Stress makes you, you're more likely to store your heavy metals rather than detox it because it puts you in survival, fight and flight and freeze and fawn. So it shuts down your ability for the liver to detox, your kidneys to detox, your visceral fats, just holding on to everything for dear life.
Okay, well, let's say today on this video, we've got a right to try reconciliation and resolving things. We've got a right. Let's stand our right to actually reconcile and not be like the corporate entities that are making and the insurance companies that are stopping people saying sorry. They're stopping people admitting what they've done. They're stopping asking forgiveness, and they're stopping people doing anything about it. Where's my money?
Want
Well,
my payout. Yeah. Beautiful.
I'm
Nice
sure
one.
that was really good
Excellent.
because we went in blind today
We did go
without
in
any
blind a little
notes.
bit.
That ended up like that. Well done, Madonna.
Beautiful. Excellent. See you later, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.